Welcome to the Closeted Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Shalee. This podcast is all about exploring the depths of your soul. We dive deep into spiritual concepts and tools that we can utilize in the physical world to really navigate life. So join me and so many others on this insane journey of self-discovery, and let's learn and grow in both the spiritual and physical world together.
Hello to all my fellow weirdos out there who are just as much obsessed with the spiritual world as I am. Welcome to or welcome back to the Closeted Soul Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. It is an honor to have you back. And for this week's episode, I'm so excited about it, even though I say that every week. I am really excited about this week's episode, but I had the pleasure of interviewing Cheryl. Now, Cheryl is an insane intuitive and coach that I had the pleasure of connecting with in my soul teacher journey. I keep yapping on about this course that I did, but I loved meeting Cheryl. And when I did that meeting, when we did a reading on each other, literally ever since then, we have non-stop been texting each other back and forth, sending each other voice notes every single day. I wake up with her voice in my ear and I love it. I learn so much through her. She's such a wise soul and she has helped me so much on this journey through her readings and her healings. And I'm just so excited to share her magic with you because she is really, really incredible and she has a lot to teach. So I'm excited to really just bring you this conversation that we have all the time. We've been having this conversation for months and months. Like we've just been nonstop voice noting each other. So now I've just brought that conversation to the podcast and I've really let that let us flow. So really like we speak about a range of different things and it's just a nice wholesome conversation that you will learn a lot from because I learn a lot from Cheryl. So without further ado, before I say that, I do want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to everyone who's reached out about the readings that I'm doing now. So the soul reading and the soul journey. For those of you that have booked in, for those of you that have shown support, thank you so much. I appreciate it so, so, so much. It was a long journey for me to find out, you know, what I actually wanted to do. You know, what was going to be the first thing that I actually did? How was I going to give back in some way? Because that's what I essentially wanted to do. I'm like, oh my God, I've learned so much. I've grown so much. How can I give this back to other people? So, you know, developing my own psychic gifts, now I'm able to use them to help other people and help them to connect to like their soul family or their celestial family or, you know, spirit guides or angels, whatever it might be. I've just met a range of incredible people. The soul journeys have been so incredible, by the way. Like a soul reading is great. Yes. Like you can get really, really powerful readings and insane answers, yes, but a soul journey is like next level because you get the chance to actually get the guidance yourself. And if you're one of those people that really, really struggle to connect to your guides and you don't know what that connection feels like, that experience will let you know what that feels like. It's like a coming home. It's so emotional. I've taken, I think, two people now who really wanted to form connection with their spirit guide. Like they had been calling in their support, but they were kind of scared of that connection. So when we did this soul journey together, they really, really got to like see what it feels like to actually connect to your soul family, to connect to, you know, celestial beings, if it's celestial beings for you, if it's angels for you, spirit guides in general, like whatever it might be that's that your soul originates from, you actually get to connect to that. And it's deeply emotional. Honestly, so many tears are shed, but so fucking powerful and just so much happens. So you not only get the chance to like, you know, feel that connection, but you can actually pull your own guidance as well. So you get the opportunity to actually interpret what it feels like getting the guidance for yourself. And that is what you get to walk away with. You get to walk away with knowing that the power is within you. Your intuition is the most important thing you need to follow at the end of the day. So rather than somebody telling you what the answer is, you get to actually pull that for yourself. And I'm there throughout the entire experience. I'm guiding the entire thing. So it's so, so, so powerful. If you want to learn more, I've linked everything down in the description. So you can definitely click on that to figure out, you know, know how you can learn more, you can always contact me on my email. It's all linked down below, but my email is closetedsoul@gmail.com, or you can find me on Instagram at closetedsoul, and I can give you more info there. Only if that feels called to you, if that feels aligned, you know that that's there. So if you enjoy this week's episode, please don't forget to give it a rate and review in iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast because it helps me out so much. And without further ado, let's invite Cheryl to the podcast. Welcome, Cheryl, to the Closeted Soul podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here too.
Cheryl and I actually met in the Soul Teacher program I told you guys about, the one that I did for 3 months, and we've been on this intense journey where we've just like unlocked all of our psychic gifts and potential, and we've just been through this massive like healing and transformation period. It was like it was a big 3 months, so it's funny to kind of actually like be at the end of that whole experience. And now like even like the relationships that we made during this, the actual 3 months, it's crazy. Like I've been a part of other programs before, but it's been nothing like Soul Teacher. And I think it's because you literally read each other's souls and you go on these like intense journeys together where you actually heal each other. And it's so crazy. So it's such an intimate program to do. And you really just make like lifelong friends out of the whole experience.
It's so true. It's been massively transformational for me. And I totally agree. The level that you get to know people at, I think one of our first conversations was when we read each other and you tapped into so much about me that I would not have had been comfortable with other people telling me, but it's insane. So you just go to a completely different level. And as you said, the healings, the transformation, I feel completely different now than I did 3 months ago.
Yeah, it's so, so, so crazy. I did a podcast episode all about that, just that transformation on itself, like the whole journey and how it is. But it really is just kind of like getting you prepared to be this like portal and this channel for other people. And thank you for saying all those nice things, because I felt the same about you. Like you literally picked up like the deepest, darkest wounds. And it's just so funny because once you pick those things up, it's like you can't look at, I don't know, it's like you can't hide. In this world, it's like it is, you see the person's like soul. It's so crazy. So it's so, so, so cool. Before we dive deeper into this conversation, because I am looking forward to this. By the way, guys, we have not prepared. We're just like, Cheryl and I have been talking for a good 2 months straight, nonstop, every single day, like back and forth voice messages. And it's not one or two voice messages. It's like a good like 7 to 10 minutes of voice recordings to each other.
Oh my God, it's been so much fun though. And it's the weirdest conversations too. Sorry for cutting across.
Oh, the weirdest.
It's been so weird.
No. It's so weird to the point where you just wouldn't have, if somebody like eavesdropped on those conversations, they'd be like, what the hell are these two girls on? It's too funny. Before we dive deeper, could you just introduce yourself to the listeners and explain a little into what it is you do?
Absolutely. So I'm from Ireland and I'm an intuitive guide and I'm also a breakup coach. So with the intuitive guidance, I offer people readings who are looking for clarity in their life. And this can be in any area of their life, from love, dating, relationships, career, or simply if they're just looking to see if they're on the right path. So how I do this is I tap into their energy and I uncover anything that might be blocking them and offer them guidance as to how they can move forward. And then with the breakup coaching, I work with women who are looking to reclaim their life after a breakup. Oftentimes people coming out of a relationship may be feeling very low, their confidence might be on the floor, and they simply just don't know what way to go forward. So I work with them to help them rediscover how amazing they are so they can build back up their confidence and go out there and create the life that they want to live.
Oh, that's so, so, so inspiring and so amazing that you can do that for other people. I actually love your story. I think that it's really, really inspiring. I'd love for you to share it with us. Can you tell us how you got into breakup coaching and then how you then got into the clarity readings as well? Because that's like two different things, right? I'd love to see your transition. into like how you started there and then how you grew.
Yeah, so how I got into the breakup coaching. So I went through a very bad breakup myself, and when that happened, I not only lost a person that who I loved very much, but I also had to move out of our beautiful home, and I also had to grieve the vision for the future I held with that person. So it was a very dark time for me. I went to a lot of therapy during it, and I also got so obsessed with personal development. And it was more the need for me to actually, one, be okay, but two, also try and understand how I had created this life, or why everyone else seemed to have their life together and mine seemed to be so shit. So I delved deep into everything, and I ended up being so inspired by a lot of people like Tony Robbins, Oprah, and I was wondering what it was that they did, what most of those people out there in this world did. And a lot of them were coaches, the people that I looked up to. So I decided to do a coaching certification. And I suppose when I was doing the coaching certification, I was still on my own healing journey. And then I was also meditating a lot. But for me, the meditating was also, it was more about actually mental health rather than a spiritual connection, which obviously it all, as you're well aware, then evolves into such a spiritual thing. But at the beginning, it was very much for my sanity to keep me okay. Then I started reading a lot of spiritual books. And I suppose I don't think I realized that they were actually spiritual. I think I just thought that they were still in the personal development world. And had somebody told me that they were spiritual, maybe I would have veered away from them. But I just was so hooked on them, I couldn't get away from them. But I was reading a lot of spiritual leaders like Eckhart Tolle and Wayne Dyer, and something just couldn't really sit into place right for me. I felt that they spoke so much about being in the present moment and being okay with the present moment. And for me, it was very difficult because I didn't feel okay in the present moment. I wasn't accepting where I was in my life. So reading those stories of people saying to be okay in the present just confused me so much. And it wasn't until I came across leaders like Gabby Bernstein and Manifestation Babe that these women were such amazing, powerful women. They're teaching people to not only accept themselves where they are, but also give permission. They give permission to know that it's okay to strive for a better life. And for me, once I found people like that, I really started playing with the universe and looking out for angel numbers, asking for signs for the universe. And for me, it was just to get messages of hope. It was really, I needed that certainty to know that my life was going to be okay. And then I started getting tarot card readings. And I know at the time I was like, do I fully believe in this? I'm not really sure. But it was something that provided that hope to me, that hope that I needed, that my life was going to be okay and that I was going to be okay. So after that, I just kept on following the nudges and the guidance that I was getting, following my intuition to the courses. I've done so many courses, particularly over the last year. And it's just led me to meet the most amazing people like yourself. But it just, that guidance that has come up for me has been insane. I did Manifestation Babe at the beginning of the year, which I loved that program. But when I was, it was before I finished that program that I ended up coming across Nikki Novo in a podcast, and I just was completely obsessed with her. I just had to work with her, and I didn't know what that looked like. I went onto her website, booked a reading with one of her mentors, and all of a sudden I knew I had to sign up for her soul teacher course, even though like it's such a big investment to make, but my intuition was just telling me, go with it, go with it, go with it. And literally, I'd say the first week or two, I was like, what am I doing in this course? But after that, ever since then, I've known that I've been meant to be there. And just uncovering these intuitive gifts has been insane.
Oh, it's so crazy. What an inspiring story. I loved like listening to your evolution and how you kind of went down the rabbit hole. It's so interesting that you spoke about the present moment as well, because I really experienced a similar thing. I really was in a place where I hated my life. I hated where I was, and I wasn't happy in the present moment. So I can completely relate to that. And I'm glad that you were also, it's kind of like we were guided to similar people, like similar teachers. I guess it's like soul tribe kind of gathering, right? And just learning from them, and you're like, wait, yeah. I actually forgot to ask you the question that I ask all my guests on the podcast. I got straight into your story. But is that when you came out of the spiritual closet, when you actually started to listen to Manifestation Babe and all of that, and then you joined Nikki's course? Is that when?
No, I suppose you asked me a couple of months ago to be on this podcast, and I suppose with time zones and everything, you know, we couldn't find a time that suited us. And I think that was really for a reason, because I knew from listening to your podcast, you asked people this question, and I really, really had to like dig deep and reflect on it and go, am I actually out of the spiritual closet? And I kept being met with, no, you're not. And for me, like, I comfortably talk on Instagram about like the universe has your back, and I talk about the universal laws. However, I wasn't been fully transparent with all the weirdness, all the woo, all the magic that I fully believe in and have experienced. So I guess I have to thank you, because it coincided with me getting a lot of readings for people. And I'm sure yourself, you've probably told me that I need to step into my truth more, and that I need to be more authentically me. And in order for me to be more authentically me, it is to speak my truth and come out more. So over the past couple of months, I've really challenged myself to step out more, not only on social media, but also within my personal life, to open up those conversations with people. So I guess that's one of the reasons why I was so excited to have this conversation today, because I feel like you and I will end up touching on things that I probably haven't spoken about publicly before. So I think for me, it's an evolution. This is just part of it, that part of it is, I guess, me today coming on this podcast and talking. But I think we'll always be evolving and always coming out of the closet, because I think there's, in this space, there's so much to learn and so much to grow from.
That's right. I completely forgot we were talking about this being your debut into the spiritual world, or coming out of the spiritual closet. There's no more hiding now. You're on this podcast and we have to dive deep, because we've done some weird shit together and we've all been on these weird ass journeys. We've experienced the most insane things. There's no hiding it. So let's go back to the start then. So how are you now getting on with actually telling or opening up about this stuff? Because I know a lot of people struggle with this, right? This stuff is taboo. People make you feel like you're crazy for actually doing this stuff. But you and I have both experienced the miracles and the magic that is in the spiritual realm and energetic work. It's seriously like transformative stuff, and it changes your life, right? So how have you started to open up and have these conversations with the people in your life? Because it's not easy. It's not easy to sit there and say, hey, I talk to my spirit guides and all this like crazy, all this crazy stuff that we do, right? Or I do healings for people and I can read your soul and all of this stuff. So how have you actually started to do that?
I suppose some of it's not fully delving deep straight away to hit somebody with it, because I think some people's reactions have been really good and they've been really curious, and some people have even surprised me with that, which has been amazing. But I also think it's not fair to hit people straight away with something that you're like, hey, all of a sudden I'm this like completely different person. So I think it's like edging the way into it and creating a safe space so that they can kind of almost come to me and actually ask me questions if they're inquisitive. I've told some people and they've been kind of like, oh, all right, okay, leave her off. And then those very people have since kind of started asking me questions about it. I did have an experience a few weeks ago where I told a friend, oh, I read energy. I was like, because they knew I was coaching. And, you know, to some people, coaching can be acceptable because it's very much focused on the mind, not the spiritual part of it. Well, that's what they may believe. But he burst out laughing in my face and I loved it. Do you know what? I actually loved it, because it was him being real with me. He wasn't trying to look at me and kind of be like, has she lost her mind? He just burst out laughing. And then he was like, I'm sorry. And I was like, no, I actually love that you laugh, because he was just like, this is insane. This is so not you. And I was just kind of like, yeah. And I was like, you know what? It wasn't me, but I love it. I've never been happier. So then he was like, you know what? I'm really happy for you. So people don't necessarily need to have the same beliefs we do, but our good friends will be happy for us if they see that we're actually happier.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. And I'm glad that you laughed when he laughed at you. You're right. It's really nice to do it gently and just to be like, hey, this is what I do. This is who I am. I like the way that you went about it. I was just full blown, couldn't even handle. I can't lie. I have a thing where I literally cannot tell a lie. It's the worst thing. Well, it's good and it's bad, right? So when I was going through this transition, I was like, there's no way I could keep this in. Like, I was like communicating with aliens and I was seeing spirit guides and I was feeling the universe and I could feel energy and I could literally feel like parallel shifts in time. And it was just the craziest thing, right? And I was like, there's no way. And I can't keep this in. Like, my boyfriend's going to leave me. Everyone's going to hate me. They're going to all think I'm a weirdo. And I was really, really scared to come out of the closet. So I ended up just like, it kind of got to this like building point where I was just like, fuck it. And then I just started blurting out everything I've gone through. And they were just like, whoa, what's happening? It actually was really overwhelming for my partner. So I don't recommend anyone do that because it was like a complete shift. I like your message in making it gentle. And obviously, no, not everyone has to believe what we can believe in. And I think that's what I find so attractive about the spiritual world, right? The fact that it is so individual and everyone has their own unique experiences with it, right? Your experience with spirituality is so different to my experience, right? And it gets to all be right. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is controlled. Nothing is fixed. That's why I was so attracted to this world in the first place. The fact that I wasn't told these like certain rules and there were certain ways of doing things. It was all just very intuitive and what feels right and what doesn't feel right. And that's your guiding system in this world.
Absolutely. And I love your story. Sometimes when I was listening to your story before in a podcast, I was literally like, I wish that it was just bam for me. But for me, it was so gradual and so slow. And I'd have to just accept that it was my way and my way for a reason. And clearly, I wasn't ready to be hit with it all. And for me, you know, it was really like all those meditations building up on top of each other for me to start seeing some of the magic that I've seen and some of the downloads. So it's been amazing. No two journeys are the same. And I can't imagine what it would be like to hit your partner with something like that, because ultimately this stuff does change you.
Yeah, it absolutely does. So with your whole journey going on this like whole like spiritual journey, it's all been like very self-development based, right? Because you're really cultivating this self-love, like becoming a breakup coach. I could imagine that there would just be so many self-love practices you would actually have to do. So I would love to, if you could kind of dive more like deeper into that, the whole concept of self-love, how to actually get self-love, how important do you actually think it is before diving deeper into a relationship? Can we just dive deep into that concept?
Absolutely. I love it. I love the whole concept of self-love because I think it can be misinterpreted. I think that people think that self-love is being happy with yourself 24/7, and that's not realistic at all. I think the whole self-love thing is about more learning to accept yourself and learning to trust yourself. So it's not about that whole positive, positive, positive vibe. It's about more tapping into yourself and getting more comfortable with yourself. So I think for me, and a lot of people don't like the number one answer that I give people on how to tap into it, is meditation and getting still and connecting with yourself more. And I know you're laughing there because it's like when I was told to meditate previously, I hated the concept. My first meditation, I cried the entire way through it. And I literally went away from it saying, that's not for me. I hate it. That's awful. And I didn't realize those emotions were there for a reason. They were trapped, stored up within me, and that emotion needed to come out. So for anyone that's like thinking about meditating and they think that it's not for them, you need to sit with it and keep coming back and keep practicing it. Also, another way I think is amazing is journaling, really getting to know yourself through that. And I think people find it very difficult to journal out of no place, but there's a lot of journal prompts out there. And I think it's really good if you have journal prompts to start journaling with those every morning. But how important is it before you get into a relationship? We're always going to meet somebody that we're vibrating at the same level with. So oftentimes people come out of a breakup and they want somebody to come along and save them or take them away from the pain that they're in. But ultimately, I would always warn people, I'm never going to tell my clients, no, you can't get, don't go near somebody. But just to be aware that you will call in somebody at that vibration. So if you're not feeling worthy in yourself and you're feeling down on yourself, you will attract somebody at that vibration. And that's not always obvious, because sometimes somebody might be looking outwardly very confident, but inside some of the, like, you know, the male big ego, how we used to look at the ego, and somebody overly confident, deep down within, that person probably doesn't like themselves either. So it's always to just be very cautious of that. The more work you do on yourself and the more love you can bring to yourself, the more you can call somebody into your life at that vibration, and you're ultimately going to have a better relationship with them.
That's powerful. There were so many powerful things you just said there. I love what you said about the self-love journey. It's not about 100% being okay with yourself and just being positive, positive, positive. I feel like that message was for me, because that's something that I've been really trying to work on lately. But it's really just getting to know yourself and spending time with yourself is an act of self-love. So that's really, really powerful. I think that's a really powerful message that you shared there. It is just that self-awareness. And it's so funny. I was laughing when you said you have to meditate. That's like the biggest step on this like self-love journey. You have to spend time with yourself, you know, you have to enjoy spending that time with yourself. And eventually you will when you start meditating. But I literally just had like a visual of the listeners just like unplugging as soon as they hear you have to meditate one more time. They're just going to be like, I'm out of here. No, thanks. It's so funny. It makes me laugh every single time, because people struggle.
They do, and it is a struggle. And that's what I wanted to say, that like I hated it. But the moment that you and for that reason, I think starting off with guided meditation is very good. And it's not about sitting there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It's sitting there for 2 minutes, building it up to 5 minutes, and do a guided meditation. Listen to somebody else. So you're not fully having to sit in the stillness and in this uncomfortable awkwardness with your own thoughts. Listen to a guided meditation and be guided to something better. Also with the whole positive thing, I think I'm so against that whole toxic positivity thing. And I think for me on my journey, I found it really difficult, because I found that a lot of people can kind of brush over emotions. And you know, if you try and go to a friend and tell a friend that you're having a bad day, and sometimes people will try and brush over it and basically say, it's okay, everyone has a bad Monday, or, you know, book a nice holiday and make yourself feel better. And those cries for help, they are cries for help. But sometimes if you're going to people who haven't had these experiences, they will try and brush over it. And just really to know that it's okay to feel your feelings, particularly if you're going through a breakup. You have to grieve that relationship before you can actually fully trust and fully move on. Otherwise, you're bringing those emotions with you into the next relationship.
That's powerful. That is really, really powerful. And that's often why you end up attracting the same person, right? Again and again and again. And this can be like in a relationship or in friendships as well. You could see this in really any area of life, really. If you don't actually do the work in that section, you actually just continue to bring that into your reality. So do you have any advice on how the listeners can actually start to feel through that breakup? Because it's hard, right, to sit in shitty things that have happened to us, or sit in trauma and to sit in that hurt. So any advice on how you can actually get through that period so you can then release that emotion and then bring something better into your life?
Absolutely. I just want to touch on something you said there, because I love the fact that you brought up the relationship patterns and us attracting people back into our life, and that it can show up in friendship dynamics. Because I think a lot of people think that it's just in their partner, but really when you step back and you start looking at the relationship patterns, you actually realize that you've people like that in all walks of your life, in your workplace, in your family, and also in your friendship groups. And I think it can be really hard to discern from it. But ultimately the universe will keep showing us those people until we learn the lessons. So sorry, back to your question.
No, that's powerful. I'm glad that you mentioned that.
The first area that I would say for people to work on is really forgiveness. And this is forgiveness of self. Because a lot of times people going through a breakup, they can be blaming themselves for what happened in the relationship, blaming themselves for staying too long, for not seeing the red flags, or sometimes for their behavior in the relationship. Because a lot of times we can look back and we can go, if I did this differently, if I showed up this way differently. And ultimately, we can't go back, but we can learn our lessons from the relationship. And that ultimately is what we need to do, is learn the lessons that we were meant to learn from it. So I would usually get people to, again, the journaling thing, write a forgiveness letter to themselves. Also, there is an ancient Hawaiian practice, and I'll try not butcher how it's said. It's Ho'oponopono. It's a meditation, and it's very energetically infused, and it's powerful. There's four phrases in it. It's like, thank you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and I love you. And in this meditation as well, it also involves cutting cords with people or cutting cords with situations. So I think that's really, really powerful. And it's so important that we forgive different versions of ourselves for how we showed up in the relationship.
Wow, that is really, really, really powerful.
There is the area then, people, when I bring up forgiveness, ultimately it does, people do ask me, do I need to forgive the ex? And it's like that, I think it's Buddha that said it, like, to stay angry at somebody else is like drinking your own poison. So ultimately, it does come up that we do have to work on forgiving the ex. It's not that we need to go and tell them you're forgiven. It's how do we accept what happened in that relationship? Because part of the acceptance of what happened is what's going to heal us. Another area that I would also work with people that I think is massive on your journey is your negative self-talk. I think a lot of people don't understand how powerful our words are, and our thoughts create our feelings, and our feelings create our reality, as you're well aware. But how we talk to ourselves is so important. And if we're going around constantly telling ourselves bad things, or that we were stupid to think the relationship was going to work, or, you know, we can be so mean and down to our appearance as well. If we're going around speaking so negatively to ourselves, that's ultimately going to cause damage and play out everywhere else in our reality. So I would ask people to be observant of how they're speaking to themselves. And it is a practice of noticing what you're saying, asking yourself, is it true? And ultimately changing it around if it's not true. Or else, if it is true, that's fine. Forgive yourself and learn how you can go forward in the future.
I love everything you just said there. So many valuable tips that people can actually do. And, you know, if this is like overwhelming, like hearing all of them, it can feel like that sometimes. So just start off with one. Start off with one of those things, and then you'll see massive shifts, and then give your focus to another thing. Really just break down the tasks. So thank you for sharing on that. I really want to touch on that self-talk, because I think that that is so powerful and something that you and I actually hold each other accountable for when we actually send each other our voice messages. If we find ourselves like overly apologizing for just being, right, we kind of like call each other out on that, and even the words that we use sometimes when we describe certain things. And it's really interesting to start watching the language that you use when you describe yourself in any sense, right? Whether it's when you talk about yourself with money, relationships, how you talk about yourself in general, the way that you look, it really, really, really does impact, or you can see that it really does, it shows you how you feel about yourself. This has been a really hard thing for me to watch, and I've been working on this for a good couple of months now, and it's still something that I am having to work through. I don't even realize that it's such a subconscious thing, but now that I'm conscious of the words that I'm using and the things that I say, I often like catch myself when I say something that I didn't want to say, like, oh, I'm dumb or whatever it might be. And I'm like, whoa, like, that's like a deep rooted limiting belief trauma thing that I just said, and it just came out in a conversation. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's so powerful to actually pick up on those things and to be aware of the language that we use when we describe ourselves, because it can tell you so much about how you feel about yourself.
It's so true. And you're so right with our conversations that we're always like, sorry, I didn't get back to you. I've had a really busy week. And it's like, we're always saying to each other, it doesn't matter when we get back. Like, but you're so right. We have to be so cautious about what we're saying, and those things like, I'm dumb, like, that's not, it's not true. It's so not true. But yet we still, and it's subconsciously within us saying those things. And it's like, particularly with people, I find, and I keep going back to the relationship thing, because I suppose that's the area I'm most used to working in, but people coming out of a relationship and saying, I'm never going to meet somebody, or all the guys I meet are this, or they're all the girls I meet are that. And those words matter. We're sending those messages out to the universe. whether we like it or not. So it's really important to change your language. And once you start changing your language, you mightn't subconsciously believe it yet, but it's about training your mind to actually start believing those things so that you can hit that higher vibration to start attracting better things into your life. I really was shocked and horrified at how mean I was to myself. I really, really was. I'd always go with the rule of thumb now is that if you wouldn't say it to your best friend, why would you say it to yourself?
I love that. That's a really, really good, that's a really good thing to think about. I think you actually taught me that in one of our conversations together, but now I do the same as well. I ask myself that as well. If I wouldn't say it to a best friend, why would I say it to myself? And you're right. Like I love that you mentioned that we are really cruel to ourselves. We literally say the meanest things to ourselves, worse than bullies, right? We are worse than bullies. And it's just like, love yourself enough to not say those mean things. Love yourself enough to actually, you know, speak positive words of affirmation about yourself. And it's so funny because I actually find myself saying these nice things about myself to myself, and then I feel like I'm being narcissistic. I'm like, oh, that's too much, you know? You feel people are going to be like, oh, she's up herself or whatever. It's just all those thoughts start to come in and I'm like, wow, like it's so crazy how we've been programmed to think that, you know, saying nice things about yourself and having a high view of yourself is narcissism.
Yeah, it's so interesting you bring that up because I always remember in school, I don't know if it was the same for you, but it was a real insult if somebody said, oh, that girl loves herself. So it was like, it was always, that's probably why it feels narcissistic, because we were taught it's not okay to love yourself. And now we're spending years going back, practicing, doing all these practices to learn how to love ourselves again. It just seems so insane. And I really hope for the younger generations that they're taught that it's okay to accept yourself and actually love yourself. Because ultimately, us going around hating ourselves, who is that benefiting? It's benefiting absolutely nobody, because unless we're at our full self, we can't offer the same love to other people.
No. I love that you mentioned that and you drew upon that example, because it's true. People, that was a massive thing in high school, right? Oh, she loves herself. And it was such like a negative, it had like a negative connotation with it. And I guess like, yeah, we bring that into adulthood and then we spend this whole time trying to learn how to love ourselves again. And I think the younger generation are so woke. They're just different to what we were when we were younger. They're crazy different. And it's just like they are so much more accepting of one another. Like, it's just so beautiful to see like so many kids feeling free to express themselves, like express their sexuality, even express their individuality as well. That's something that I see a lot in the, because I have a younger sister, she's 12, and I see it within her friends. They're all just so individual and so different, but not ashamed to be different. It's like they want to be different in a way. It's really powerful.
That's so amazing to hear, because I think we were so the complete opposite. It's like told, be quiet, be a good girl, and it's not okay to cry, and it's not okay to do this. And it just reminded me there of Brené Brown in one of her books. She speaks about her daughter, I think it was her, she speaks about her daughter getting up in a store and like doing a robot dance. And there was people all looking, been like, oh my God, like, what is she doing? So she actually got up and joined her, because her immediate reaction was to say, no, don't be doing that. And then she was like, I am not going to tell my daughter that she is to not be herself. So I love to hear that your sister and all her friends are like completely wanting to be themselves and be individuals. Who wants to follow the crowd? And, you know, we're all just trying to be authentic. Now it's like all the messages that I'm getting in readings is to be more authentically me. And it's really difficult to go back and be authentically me, because that's having to rediscover who I actually am and uncover that, because I spent so many years stuffing down who I actually was. And I think that's been what the most amazing thing about doing the Soul Teacher program was, is learning these gifts that I have. And I think that I went through my whole life thinking that I wasn't talented and I wasn't gifted. And now to have these, it's trying to balance my ego and not be too egotistical when I get told I have gifts. I'm like, I've never been in a course where somebody is saying you're talented or you're gifted. And it's like, sure, don't let your ego get on top of you now.
No, you need to let your ego get on top of you. You're going to be like, woo, I am gifted. I am talented. Cheryl is like one of the most intuitive people I've ever met in my life. Like, you just have insane abilities, and your readings are so, so, so beautiful and so helpful as well. Like, after the reading with you, I just felt like I felt powerful, and like I was like, so you just really, really helped me to see like how special I was. And that was something that I was struggling to see as well. And you also, you're really good in the heart, like with heart stuff. I really realized like you picked some deep wounds up there that I've actually been working through ever since you brought them to my attention. And I've been really trying to work through them so I can then forgive, so I can actually like transmute that like hurt that's there, right? So that was really, really powerful. So yeah, you need to celebrate yourself, and you need to be like, woo, I am amazing.
I love that. Thank you so much. I feel the same, and we could totally spend ages gushing on each other here, but your reading was so helpful for me. I feel you're so talented. But yeah, I definitely notice it is, and maybe it's from the whole breakup stuff that I've come through, but I definitely feel that the heart area a lot does usually come up for me in the heart area when I am reading people. And I can't fully take credit for that, because I think Archangel Camuel was a massive part of my healing journey, and I feel like he shows up in a lot of my readings when people need heart healing, so he's there to help me. And also, as I mentioned him, if anyone does feel like they're struggling with their heart, know that they can call upon the angels and just set a little intention for the angels to come and help them. We often try and figure things out for ourselves and try and do, but it's okay to hand things over to a higher power and ask for that guidance and support from somebody bigger than ourselves.
That's a beautiful message. And I actually spoke about that recently. I did it in like a TikTok video, but it was like this realization where I was like, wait, I'm struggling so much. I don't know how to move forward. Why aren't I calling upon my guides to help me? Why aren't I calling upon the universe to help me? We often feel as though we have to do things alone, and we're in this alone. We can get stuck in our own little bubble, right? And it's like, no, you have these higher resources to actually call upon. And I love that you work closely with angels. What's the angel's name again? I forgot, because he came through in my reading for you. I can speak, obviously.
Camuel. Camuel was the one that came through, and I just thought it was so beautiful that you managed to pick up on him and he came through for you, because he has been a big part. And I suppose for me, how he first came into my life was through meditations. Well, I actually had a really triggering experience with a coach. Well, an amazing coach, but it came up that I wasn't fully healed. And so I sat in meditation and I realized I had to go back to Gabby Bernstein's book. And she had a chapter on archangels and spirit guides. And I completely dismissed the chapter when I read the book first. And something in the meditation went to go back and read that book. So from then, he isn't mentioned specifically in the book, but I Googled who is the archangel that can help you with healing your heart. So I started praying. And since then, he started showing up in my meditations and helping me towards healing.
That's a beautiful, beautiful story. And guys, like, you can all do this. That's what's so crazy about it. There's so much I want to say here, but you can all do this. Like, this isn't special to Cheryl and I. This is because Cheryl and I have made it like our mission to actually access these psychic abilities and access our intuition and access these gifts. So if you have a soul desire to want to do this, if you're listening to us thinking, oh, fuck, I wish I could do that, that sounds really cool, you can. You literally can. Just meditation is obviously the first step, because you do actually need to quiet the outside noise. You need to get familiar with yourself. So then when something comes through that doesn't feel like yourself, you'll know, right? You'll know what to kind of discern from, because spirit does come in your own voice. Would you agree, Cheryl?
Absolutely. It really, really does. It's, and that's what makes it so hard to realize if you're actually doing it. But you're so right. Everybody can do this. We are not special. We are just, as you said, we've set the intention to go out there and uncover these things. But I always hear it in my own voice as well. And I think that's what, when you start tapping into these gifts, you start thinking, am I crazy? Am I making this stuff up? And it's okay to get playful with it and make it up, because that's part of the fun in it. It's meant to be fun. The universe wants us to tap into joy. The more we're in joy, the more we can manifest, the more we can call into our life. So have fun with it. It's meant to be fun.
Yeah, exactly right. Things don't have to be so serious. I love that you mentioned that. I remember the thought that I had when you said that was, remember at the start when we were learning how to do these readings, like obviously Cheryl and I have never ever read anybody in our lives prior to starting this course, right? We've never, like, we've had energy readings, but we've never done them on anyone, right? So obviously when we're given the task to actually go out there and start reading each other and reading other souls, we're like, what the fuck? How do you even do that? Where do you even start? What does that even look like? So when we started, every single time we would like get all these messages, right? You'd write them down the whole time. You're like thinking to yourself, this is bullshit. I'm making this up. Surely not, right? And then you go and relay the information to somebody, like the person that you read, and they're like, whoa, shit, you just like saw deep, deep, deep into my soul. And you're like, what? I did? It's so crazy. And we would like start every sentence with, look, I don't know if I'm making this up, but this came through. So it was really cool. And now we're just like, yeah, look, our guides are saying this. This is happening. They said this, and we don't even question it. We're like, yep, it's guidance.
Totally. I remember your first reading, the time you read me, and you told me that I needed to get more into a fuck it mentality, like as in stop thinking about, is it true? It was just like, write it down. The person needs to hear it. And I think that's what's, it's funny as well, isn't it? Because I don't know if you're finding this in readings, that sometimes things don't resonate with somebody straight away, but days later they might come back and went, and go, that actually makes so much sense to me now. And I think that's what's amazing about it, is sometimes in the actual reading, things mightn't make sense. It does take a bit of time for somebody to reflect on it and actually figure out what area of their life it makes sense in.
I love that you mentioned that, because it can be triggering. Like so much can come up in that reading. And like I said, the person is reading your soul, right? Your entire soul. And often some of the things that are said, you don't want to hear. But yeah, I love that you mentioned that, because we are taught that when spirit gives us something, we must relay that back to the person. We have to give that information back to them, no matter how hard it is to say, no matter how hard it is to talk about, because they're meant to actually receive that information for a reason, regardless of if it triggers them or if they agree with it or not. Because you're right, Cheryl, it does. It awakens something in them, right? And I have experienced that. I actually had this one particular reading with this person that literally didn't resonate with anything that I said at that, like at the start. It's like, only a couple of things did. And then I felt really deflated, because obviously like this is at the start and I was like, oh, I'm just learning. I thought I was doing so well. Why didn't he resonate with any of it? Anyway, and then he comes back a couple of hours later and he's like, actually, it all made sense. And he just opened up to all of it. And I was like, wow, like that's so, so, so crazy. And that's when it kind of all clicked for me then. And I was like, oh, okay, I see.
That's insane. I love it. It is. And as you mentioned, it can be triggering for people, and some people might not want to hear it, but they're meant to hear it in that time. And I always think with triggers, I know for myself, when I get triggered with things, the automatic thing is to get angry and kind of go, that's not true. But it's, we're meant to learn from our triggers, and it's something unhealed within us. And I think we can really use our triggers to our advantage and actually look at them and go, okay, if I am told something that I don't like, how can I change it? Because that's the thing, we all have control to change it. And so instead of sitting in the anger, go, okay, if there is truth to this, how do I need to shift this? How do I need to heal it? How do I need to move forward? As well with some of the things that come up, because we're using our psychic abilities, we can see potential paths for people to go down. And somebody mightn't like the path that they're told they're on. But you have the power, any person has the power when they're receiving that information, to take that information on board and go, I don't like what I was told, I'm going to change it. And I think that for me has been the biggest lessons in readings. You can get told things, triggered, but use them for your advantage.
I love that you mentioned that. And I also wanted to mention that it's so funny, because yes, spirit will often tell you things that could be hard to hear, but it's for your best benefit. But what I actually find they also do is that they actually give you messages sometimes that you don't want to hear. So sometimes they'll give you like this prediction that you didn't want to hear, or, you know, this path or this timeline that you didn't want to hear, because it will propel you in the right direction. So often, like sometimes people will get a reading, they'll be like, oh my God, that person, you know, said this about me, pissed me off, blah, blah, blah. I don't want that. And that was all done intentionally. And that was done to then put you on your path of purpose again and put you down a path that you actually want to go down. So it's just so funny how spirit works. It's so sly, but it does the job.
You're so right. It's sneaky almost when you think about it like that. But I think it's because it knows that that's what's going to propel you forward quicker. I was given a prediction as well recently that I didn't like. And I had a conversation then with an intuitive therapist that I work with. And she was very much like, Cheryl, you know this stuff. You know it's all about your beliefs creating your reality. So if you believe it's going to be X number of years, it's going to be X number of years. If you believe it's X number of months, you're going to take the action steps forward to get you to where you want to be. So it really triggered me into taking actions myself and nearly wanting to prove that prediction wrong. But we have the control. We have the control and free will to create the lives that we want.
Exactly. I think something really prevalent that has been coming up for me really strongly with my guides, and this has been happening in like other readings as well, is that the timeline is collapsing right now. Literally, the timeline is collapsing. Everything is happening at a faster rate, and you have to kind of like keep up with spirit, right? Keep up with the things that are coming into your reality. And I think with predictions, sometimes you end up like relying on the prediction as well too much if you liked what you heard, and then you try to end up like calling that in. I know that's what I did with a particular prediction. I was like relying on what somebody else was saying, and again, you're again putting your power into somebody else and not back into yourself. And yeah, it really took me actually taking that step back and realizing, wait, hold on, it's all on my terms. It's when I want it to happen. It's when spirit is telling me the time is right now, the time is right. Now go ahead and take the action and take the step. So it's interesting. It's really, really interesting. And I'm glad that you had that realization with your intuitive therapist where you were like, hold on, wait, this is all in my hands and I don't need to take this if I don't want to.
Completely. And I think a lot of people as well in the prediction space, unfortunately, there's people that stay in relationships because they're told that that person is their person. And ultimately, that person they're with, or they may be told they might get back with their ex, and they cling on to that. And it's very much they then avoid looking at other opportunities. And it's not to say that that person couldn't be their person, but at the same time, both people have free will. And if the other person chooses a different direction or a different path, or chooses fear over actually facing a relationship that could be really good, you have to be willing to move with it and move in your own direction too, not to cling on to something.
You're so, so, so right. You are so right. That's really, really powerful. I'm glad that you actually mentioned that. So just staying in the realm of like spirituality and the spiritual world and all of that, because we spend a lot of time there, I would love to get your perspective on soulmates. What is your opinion on soulmates?
Oh, I love this question so much. So it comes up so often, like soulmates, we're all soulmates, like you and I. So it literally is a person that you have a soul that you've done another life with. And I think it constantly gets confused with, people get confused with thinking that their soulmate is their one person. So I like to think of it as, if you meet a person in your life romantically or a friendship that you click with instantly, the chances are you've done another life with them. So you may meet, and I think how it gets confusing in relationships is because if you create that bond instantly with a person that you've just met romantically, you may think that they're your only person. You may have done another life with them and had a very loving relationship. That's not to say they're not meant to be in your life right now to teach you a lesson, but it doesn't mean that you necessarily need to stay with them. So I think a lot of times people get confused because that bond and that connection is so strong, and it makes it so difficult to walk away from. So I think, like, we've done lots of different past life healings in our course, and I did an amazing one with you, really fun one, where we tapped in to actually see where we met each other before. And that was so fun. But it is also fun to explore how, you know, how your ex showed up in a previous life before. But I also think what's fun is to actually realize that even though you could have had a great love with your ex at that time, there's also other people that you were with And there's also other people out there in the universe that you had amazing relationships with, and be open to that. There's not just one soul out there for everyone. Just because you've done a life with them before does not mean that you're meant to do this one with them.
I love that you mentioned that because it's so true. And I think people become fixated on that term soulmates, right? Because they're like, oh my God, soulmate, that means I have to be with them forever. They're my forever person. It's like, no, like that person, yeah, could be a soulmate, but they could be here to just teach you a lesson in this life, right? And exactly what you said, like we're soulmates and other people in our lives, like our friends are soulmates, family are soulmates. Like you can have soulmates in so many different senses. And sometimes it's just to maybe complete a karmic cycle or teach you a lesson, get you on the part your path of purpose. Like there are so many different reasons why somebody can come into your life, whether it's good or bad or whatever they've done to you, right? So it's really interesting to look at that term and to really dissect it, because it has become this whole thing of like, oh, it's like a really romantic thing, right? And it's not necessarily that case. And I love that you brought up our past life regression together, because I thought that that was so much fun. Cheryl and I went to go see one of our past lives together, and it was so interesting to actually dive deep into like when we first met and when we first kind of had a human life together. And it was really interesting because we were, I think it was, what time was it again? I've completely forgotten.
I don't know what timeline it was, but it was very much like where females were very oppressed and we just like had to sit back and do what our husbands told us, and we weren't really allowed to use our own voice. But basically we were married to two brothers, and I don't think either of us were very happy in those relationships. But I think there was a lot of messages from those life in the fact that we weren't able to do what we liked. And I think we both came out of it so grateful to go, wow, we're so lucky now to be building these businesses, like having these choices in our life that sometimes we take for granted. Well, I don't know. I think ultimately I had been taken for granted anyway, but it was more also, it was very healing. I think there was a lot of work in the throat chakra to help us speak our truth as well, because it was very clear in those lives, we weren't allowed to speak our truth or find joy in anything we did. We just had to be the women that stayed at home, very much quiet and doing the dutiful thing for the husband.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly what it was. We kind of relied on each other in that life. It was like we would just constantly kind of be together because it was like we could understand what the other person was going through. And I can imagine so many women in that time would feel that way. So a lot of women would actually hold that sort of trauma that we actually got to heal and look at when we entered that past life. And I guess that's what's so powerful about going to your past lives, right? You can go see really good ones and, you know, see kind of when your soul was doing the thing that you want to do in this life, or you can go to a past life like that. And like, to be honest, we did that for a bit of fun, but it was immensely healing because, yeah, I felt the exact same. And I didn't really put two and two together. So I'm actually glad that you mentioned that now, because it's like, wow, yeah, in that life, I was so suppressed. I wasn't able to express my truth, and I wasn't able to even speak and just express in this way. And now, like, I have a podcast where I can say whatever the hell I want, right? Nobody's controlling me, and I can literally live a dream life, right? Live my life on my terms, and it's not based on a man or what a man is telling me to do. So it's powerful. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I didn't even put two and two together. I don't know why.
I think it's so fascinating because, like you say, we went into that one for a bit of fun, and I've gone into other past lives for fun as well. And the lessons that have come out of them is just insane. Like, you kind of think that you're doing one thing, but and you think, I know when I started this course, I wasn't that interested in past lives. I kind of was like, no, there's enough to deal with in my own life. I've been through enough that I'm like, I don't need to go delve into other lives. But it's so insane what our soul carries with us and the lessons that we can learn from each of the lives that we've lived.
It is actually so crazy, and you realize that you actually carry things from other lives into this life, and you're like, whoa, I didn't even know that that was there. So that's just a whole different ball game. I'm going to bring it back to the relationship topic because I think it's really, really interesting. Something I see a lot of in the manifesting area, right, or people that are looking for new relationships, is that they manifest their dream partner, they manifest their perfect person. I'd love to get your opinion on this. Do you believe that that's a thing? Do you believe that people can actually manifest their desired partner into their life? Like, could you actually script out word for word, my partner is going to be this, they're going to have this, they're going to look like this, and da 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 da, and then you get that?
Well, something I'm still working on at the moment, so I'll come back to you, Anna. I do fully believe it just depends. It depends on when you're, whether you're a specific or non-specific manifester. I know you've been into human design, but I'm not a specific manifester. So for me, it's better for me to just be a bit more open, to not be so prescriptive in the detail. I definitely have mapped out what I want, and I have seen other people map out what they want, but sometimes it stresses them out too much. And I think for me, being a non-specific manifester, if I'm so specific, I feel like I'll shut off other options to other things. So for me, it's really down to the feeling, how I want to feel in the relationship. Do I want to feel supported? Do I want to feel respected? Do I want to feel loved? It's all those things. And how can I actually bring those things into my life myself? Because in order for me to be a vibrational match for it, I need to be showing the universe that I can do those things for myself. I do know people that have been so specific and have met somebody exactly like what's on their vision board. I don't know if that will necessarily work for me. I think it's all down to the type of manifester you are. But again, it's about setting the intention of what you want out to the universe, and setting how you feel. How you want to feel out to the universe in order for the universe to deliver it to you. I think if we're just so open, we mightn't be able to call in what we really want, because I think the great thing about manifestation is that we are looking to call in the perfect partner or whatever, but sometimes if you're leaving it so open, you may be confusing the universe, and the universe mightn't be clear on what you want in your life. And that's why you might be getting in kind of mixed people, or people that are either half in or half out of the relationship. So it is very important to get specific. Well, I contradict myself there. It's very important to get specific on how you want to feel in the relationship, rather than getting caught up on how they look or things like that.
I like that you said that. Yeah, I like that you mentioned how you feel is what you should focus on. And yeah, exactly right. Look into your human design. I like that you mentioned that as well, because you can look up whether or not you're a specific manifestor or a non-specific. It's actually funny. I'm specific, but I think I need to be specific in the feeling that I want to bring into my life. When I'm sitting there being specific to the point of like detail, being like, it has to look like this and it has to come in this way, I end up blocking a lot of the abundance that I could be receiving from the universe. So that's something that I've noticed. I like that you touched on that as well, that you can just be specific on the feeling that you want to call in. And I think that's really important with a person as well. You don't want to be so like, oh, they don't meet my physical description of what he should look like, therefore he's not the one, because he's not on like the list that I've written down. So I think that that's important as well. It's interesting to me, because I'm like, you can look at it from two points, right? Because I know that some people write down these lists and they bring that person into their life, and yet that person didn't fulfill them, because they didn't focus on the feeling. They didn't focus on what they wanted to feel. They manifested the exact person, but they're like, shit, it doesn't make me feel the way that I want to feel in a relationship.
It's so true. It literally is. You can bring anything into your life, but would you rather this like gorgeous person standing in front of you, but they don't make you feel the way you want to feel?
Exactly. So then before we wrap it up, I wanted to get your opinion on twin flames. Such a hot topic in the spiritual community.
Yes, twin flames. And you know what? It's not actually something I've delved too deep into myself, because I think it is pretty much because I've seen these celebrities out there being like, oh my God, we're twin flames. And I'm like, oh, is this another kind of soulmate thing? But from my understanding, and I don't have a huge amount of knowledge, and you can correct me on this, is like it's a soul splitting. And when they come together, that they feel like they're so drawn together. I would feel that it's very uncommon that that would happen, but yet I've never experienced it, or I've never spoken to somebody that actually feels that their person is their twin flame. But for me, I would be very concerned that it would be, again, like the soulmate thing, somebody just having this attachment or this connection and this bond. And I almost think it's like creating a label for yourself, and it's a label that you're going to cling on to. And I think once we create these labels for ourselves, it's very hard if a relationship isn't going well for you to be able to walk away. And similarly, even if that person is your twin flame, does that mean that you're meant to be with them romantically? And I guess I don't have the answers.
No, that's okay. Exactly. I love the description was perfect. That's exactly what a twin flame is, just for reference. And I guess it does fall into the same thing as like the soulmates. Definitely could be the same thing, because it could be mistaken for love, right? Because you're so familiar with that soul, it feels so right that you're like, I feel like I know this person. It's kind of like, because you kind of are a little bit of that person. But does that mean you're destined to be together? No. And you're right, it's these labels that humans hold on to, right? I remember the first time I saw like soulmates come up for me when I was reading somebody, and they were like, my guides like straight away said, but it's not in the way that you humans think it is. It's not, you guys like put too much attachment to that word. And it's like, okay, I see. And it's like humans, Nikki Novo actually said this to me, our spiritual mentor. She said like humans always want things to mean something. We always try to put meaning to literally everything.
I love that. We really, really do. We really try and overanalyze and over explain things. And I particularly find that when people come out of a relationship, it's like have to make sense out of everything rather than actually trying to trust that this is meant to happen for a reason and you're meant to learn these lessons. And I know it's so painful to go through, but there is a reason, and the universe is always supporting you. It always is trying to bring you back onto the right path. So if you're going through something difficult in life, it is to relook at it and actually learn the lessons so that you don't go back to the same people and draw on the same things, but it's always going to bring you back to the right place. So, and just on another thing, as you were talking about the past lives, for me, when I started doing the past lives, I had this perception that I am a female, so I would only have been a female in past lives. And it wasn't until I opened myself up to the possibility that like, oh, I was a man in other lives. And so sometimes when we have this connection with a partner, we think we've done it romantically with the partner, but it could have been a case. We could have been a sibling, or could have been a parent and child dynamic. So sometimes you're so set on having this belief that we did life together in one way in a romantic relationship, but it actually could be something completely different. And the karmic lesson involved is something totally different.
It's so, so, so true. I love that you said all that. It's such a beautiful, beautiful note to end on. I've really, really enjoyed our chat. It's been so fun diving deep into all these topics with you. We literally talk every day nonstop about this stuff. So it's nice to actually bring this to the audience as well, because I think this stuff is just, it's good to think about. It's good to implement. I love the tips that you provided. Yeah, your perspective is just so, so, so powerful. So if the listeners wanted to connect with you further, if they wanted to maybe work with you as well, where could they do that? Where could they find you?
I mostly hang out on Instagram, and that's at The Reclaim Coach. And my website is thereclaimcoach.com. And I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for having me on. And as always, I just love chatting about all the weirdness and all the woo with you.
I know, you are so welcome. It was honestly a pleasure having you on. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this today. And I'm so glad to be the person that's taking you out of the spiritual closet. You can't hide now. You're on this podcast.
Nope. There is no hiding. Thank you. Thank you for making me step out there and do it. And it's what spirit wanted me to do. Speak more from my truth.
Yeah, no, it was so, so powerful. Thank you again, Cheryl. You have a lovely day. And all of Cheryl's details will be listed in the show notes below. But yeah, I will speak to you soon.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed today's episode and you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast in iTunes, it would mean the world to me. Also, if you are wanting to connect with me on a more intimate platform, you can find me on Instagram at Closeted Soul. I would love to hear from you. Finally, you can learn a little bit more about me and this space just by visiting my website at www.closetedsoul.com.